Coming up next, fatherhood is a joy, but it's not always easy, and we can use all the help we can get. Stay tuned for a Father's Day checklist of 10 ways to love your kids. This is the Back to God Hour, a program that looks at life in light of the Bible, exploring God's answers to our questions. Our host is David Fettes, and the topic we'll be dealing with today is 10 Ways to Love Your Kids.
Today's program follows a simple plan. We're going to look at 10 ways for fathers, and for mothers as well, to love our children. I don't claim to offer a complete list or to present these things in any scientific order. They aren't mechanical step-by-step instructions on how to build the perfect child. They're some basic ideas grounded in the Bible and confirmed by experience that serve as checkpoints to help you as a father or a mother to evaluate and improve your love for your children. Number one, love your children by loving your spouse. The best context for healthy children is healthy marriage. When you love your wife or your husband, your kids enjoy an atmosphere of love and security. When they see mom and dad hugging and kissing each other, encouraging and complimenting each other, doing things for each other, kids feel great. They know mom and dad are devoted to each other no matter what, and it gives them a sense of stability and confidence. The Bible connects a flourishing marriage with flourishing children when it says, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table." Few things are more necessary for children growing up than a loving home and a stable marriage. When kids feel a tension between mom and dad, it troubles them. If mom and dad split up, it tears the children apart. One tragic irony of our time is that some countries have outlawed spanking as child abuse, and yet many of these same nations have no-fault divorce laws and allow couples to live together without marriage and then abandon one another as they please. Talk about child abuse! What could be more cruel to children than breaking up the home? Their foundation crumbles, and there's no atmosphere of love for them to flourish in. One great way to love your kids is to love your spouse. Number two, love your children by meeting their physical needs. Make sure your kids have food, clothing, and a place to live. This is almost too obvious to need saying, but it's too important not to say. Some of you have already blown the first guideline, and then once you've broken up with your partner, you make matters worse by not paying child support. You've already hurt your children emotionally, and now you won't even help meet their physical needs. Wake up, deadbeat. The Bible says if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, then again, maybe you're not a deadbeat. Maybe you work long and hard to provide for your children. If so, be encouraged. If you're a parent earning a paycheck in a job that isn't much fun, look at it not just as a drag, but as a God-given means to provide for the children you love. The same is true when you toil at home, preparing meals, washing clothes, changing diapers. Don't see it simply as a bore and a chore. See it as a privilege, a real, concrete way to love your kids. Love your kids by gladly working to meet their physical needs. Number three, love your children by getting your own act together. Your attitudes and actions have a strong effect on your children. If you are thoughtful and gentle, it warms your kids' lives, and it also sets an example for them to become thoughtful and gentle people. If you're selfish and angry and nasty, it makes their lives painful and bitter, and it also sets an example for them to become nasty people themselves. If you choose a way of life that is wholesome, it brings them wholesomeness. But if you get into alcohol and drugs, it poisons not only your life, but theirs as well. They are hurt by your harmful habits, and to make matters worse, they're likely to pick up your bad habits themselves. Being the father of a family is like being in charge of a ship. If you steer the ship safely to its destination, you not only make it there yourself, but you take others with you. But if you don't know what you're doing or where you're going and you sink the ship, you not only ruin yourself, but the others in the ship with you. A ship's captain who won't study maps or pay attention to warnings will endanger himself and endanger everyone with him. Likewise, a father who ignores the Bible's directions and warnings will not know how to steer himself and his family through the icebergs, the rocks, the storms of life. He puts his own soul and their souls in jeopardy of disaster. Get to know the Bible yourself so that you can steer your family to safety. So, for your own good and the good of your family, get your act together. Get rid of bad habits and poisonous attitudes and seek to be a person of wisdom. The Bible says, "By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasure." In other words, if you get your act together and live wisely, your household will prosper. Number 4, love your children by loving God. If you don't have a relationship to God, you are an obstacle to your children's relationship to God. Even if you're a fairly good parent in other respects, you're hindering and harming your child's eternal soul along with your own soul if you don't know God or love Him. On the other hand, if you love and trust and worship the Lord, if you have a living relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your Master and your friend, then your relationship with the Lord will inspire you to be an excellent parent and will also attract your children to want a relationship to God like the relationship you have. One of my favorite Bible verses as a father is Proverbs 14, verse 26. "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." When you have the deepest respect and reverence and love for God, it becomes a wall of safety and protection for your children. When you live by faith in God's covenant promises, those promises embrace your children too. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus, get to know Him. And if you do know the Lord, then love Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. God will be honored and your children will be blessed along with you. Love your children by loving God. Here's a fifth guideline. Love your children by trusting God to complete His work in their life and in yours. Your kids are still a work in progress. You are still a work in progress. Keep that in mind. When your child blows it, don't panic. And when you blow it yourself, don't give up. Your children have a long way to go, and so do you. But God has His ways of eventually getting you to where He wants you to be. The Bible tells people who are still far from perfect, "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." It's okay to have high expectations of our children and of ourselves, but don't be demanding without being understanding. Even God Himself, though He is perfect and requires total perfection, has compassion for us in our weakness. The Bible says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust." God won't be fully satisfied until we're perfect, but in the meantime, God knows our weakness, and He's pleased at every sign of progress. That's God's attitude, and it should be our attitude too. Don't be too hard on your children. Don't be too hard on yourself. Don't turn every problem into an unchangeable catastrophe. Don't panic. Pray. Be patient with failings, and be grateful for every little bit of progress. We haven't turned out yet, but by God's grace, we will turn out. Let's take a break now for a song about that from Steve and Annie Chapman, and then I'll be back.
The other day I heard my mom complaining to my dad. then you'll be proud, I'll bet. You see, I'm still a kid. Mom, I haven't turned out yet. My dad was telling Grandpa he was worried as could be. It seems his heart was breaking. He was so ashamed of me.
Haven't turned out yet. We and our children aren't perfect, but instead of letting imperfections throw us into despair, let's rest in a Savior who is perfect and who is perfectly able to make us and our children perfect in His own good time. Let's love our children by praying for them and trusting a loving God to complete His work in their life and in ours. Well, so far we've looked at 5 ways to love our children. Now let's look at a 6th. Love your children by being there for them. It may not sound impressive, but one of the most basic ways of loving your kids is simply showing up. That's right. Even if you're far from perfect, you're well on your way to being a good mom or dad simply by showing up and spending time with your children instead of being elsewhere. Just showing up at mealtime can help a lot. Only 6% of kids who eat dinner with their parents 6 or more times a week smoke, compared with 24% of those who eat dinner with their parents twice a week or less. For marijuana use, it's 12% compared with 35%. You don't have to be a hero. You don't have to be a genius to sit down with your kids at mealtime. Just do it. Otherwise, your kids will be 3 to 4 times more likely to get into harmful habits. If you simply show up every day and share some food and conversation, you can make a huge difference in your kids' lives. Having meals together or playing games or talking or reading with your kids may seem like little things. They certainly aren't things that require a degree in psychology. But these little things make a big impact. They are rich treasures for a child's heart and soul. In other words, a great deal of parenting isn't about ability, but availability. You don't have to be an expert, you just have to show up. The flip side of this is that if you're not available, if you don't show up, if you're constantly away from your children, if you don't even have mealtimes and evenings with them, then any parenting stuff you do manage to squeeze in may be a waste. The Bible says, Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Absentee parenting doesn't work. You can't run a home by phone and fax and email. Love your kids by being with them as much as you possibly can. 7, love your children by getting your priorities straight. What really matters to you? Where do you focus your greatest effort and energy and concern? On having more stuff or on building better relationships? We saw earlier that providing for physical needs can be a way to love your children, but providing for physical needs is not the same as constantly chasing more wealth and luxury. The Bible says bluntly, a greedy man brings trouble to his family. Living with less luxury and healthier relationships to God and family is better than lifestyles of the rich and famous with rotten relationships to God and family. The Bible makes this point again and again in the book of Proverbs. Better to be poor and fear the Lord than to be rich and in trouble. Better to eat vegetables with people you love than to eat the finest meat where there is hate. Better to eat a dry crust of bread with peace of mind than have a banquet in a house full of trouble. You don't need the fanciest food and the biggest house and the hottest car to be happy. Your kids don't need tons of toys or gobs of gadgets or closets of costly clothes to be happy. Living at peace with each other, loving each other, honoring the Lord, and enjoying His favor, these things are better than anything money can buy. Better for you and better for your children. So love your children by getting your priorities straight. 8, love your children by disciplining them firmly and fairly. If you discipline your children, they may sometimes accuse you of hating them and being mean to them. But what does God say in the Bible? God says it's hateful not to discipline. Proverbs declares, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. There are misguided experts who push permissive parenting and say that all spanking is child abuse. But God says it's abusive not to punish your children for disobedience and sin. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Spanking isn't the only way to punish children, especially older ones, but it certainly is one time-tested, scripture-approved method of sound and effective discipline. A motto I heard and sometimes felt as a boy was, if you can't hear it with the ear, you'll feel it through the rear. Kids aren't just sweet and wonderful. Sometimes they're bad. Foolishness runs deep in their hearts and can even destroy their souls if it's allowed to go unchecked. That's why discipline must be firm, even painful at times. However, discipline must also be fair. The Bible says, fathers, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. Never spank your child when you aren't in full control of your temper, or the spanking can become abusive. Punishment must be for the good of the child and must be appropriate to the offense. If you punish a child just to vent your rage, and if the punishment is out of proportion to what the child did, it's abusive. Still, not all spanking is abusive. There's a world of difference between a carefully applied, well-deserved spanking and an angry beating. The best alternative to abusive discipline isn't no discipline, but firm, fair discipline. Now, kids may gripe about punishment even when it's fair, but they know they're loved. Kids who aren't disciplined figure that their parents are either spineless or clueless, or even worse, they figure their parents just don't care. Do you want your kids to think you don't love them enough to care what they do? The Bible says better is open rebuke than hidden love. A parent who scolds or spanks when necessary shows more love than one who says and does nothing. If a child has no parents to exercise authority, no rules or boundaries to respect, no punishment to learn from, that child will most likely grow up confused, unhappy, and immoral. But if mom and dad set well-defined borders and care enough to punish and correct bad behavior, the child develops a sense of order and well-being, under the steady guiding hands of loving parents. Discipline your son, says Proverbs 29, verse 16, and he will bring you peace. He will bring delight to your soul. So love your children by disciplining them firmly and fairly. Number 9, love your children by trying to make them wise. Don't just try to drive folly out of them through discipline. Pour wisdom into them through teaching and example. With God's help, seek to be a resource of wisdom for your children to draw from. A biblical writer says in Proverbs 4, "When I was a boy in my father's house, he taught me and said, 'Lay hold of my words with all your heart. Get wisdom, get understanding.'" Now, part of making your kids wise is helping them to avoid things that will make them foolish. A person in the Bible wrote, "I will walk in my house with blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. No one who practices deceit will dwell in my house." I know a father who taped a sign above his TV which quoted those words, "I will set before my eyes no vile thing." That affected the man himself, and it kept him away from most of the programs that he had been watching. When his kids first saw the sign, they complained, "Dad, get rid of that. It interferes with our TV watching." The dad replied, "That's what it's supposed to do." Don't stand idly by while your children spend their time at home filling their minds with TV programs and trashy music and computer games. And don't assume that it's up to the school or even the church to make your children wise. It's not just their job, it's yours. The Bible tells parents to instruct children in the ways of the Lord. It's very important to take them with you to a good church and to provide them with an education that shows them how to live for God. But in all of this, always remember that you, not the preacher, not their other teachers, you are their main instructor. If you love your children, make your own words count. Tell them the great stories and events of the Bible. Instruct them in the truths and commands of God. Also, whenever possible, tell stories of how the wisdom of the Bible has been confirmed in your own life. Some of the things that happened to you may be inspiring, some funny, some frightening, some embarrassing, some all at once. Children love to hear stories, and they especially like lively, true stories rooted in their own family history. It shapes their understanding of who they are, and it often confirms that good things happen when you follow God's wisdom, and bad things happen when we don't. As you try to instill wisdom in your children, remember to share the wisdom of humility. When they ask questions that you can't answer, don't be afraid to admit that you don't know it all. When you blunder, be honest about it. When you lose your temper or neglect your children or wrong them in some other way, tell them you're sorry and ask their forgiveness. Will this decrease your authority in their eyes? No, it will increase it. Your kids are smart enough to know you're not perfect. If you're smart enough to admit it, if you're humble and honest when you're wrong, your children will be more ready to hear your wisdom when you're right. And they'll also be encouraged to look beyond you to Jesus himself as the supreme source of wisdom. Love your children by seeking to make them wise. And now 10th, love your children by prizing them enormously. I mentioned this last, but it's definitely not least. The Bible says that children are a reward from God. Because that's true, delight in your children and value them as priceless gifts from God. Do you relish and rejoice in your children? Are you thrilled to have them? Kids can tell, you know. They can tell whether they are a joy to their parents or just a chore. Prizing your children is crucial to the other things you do as a parent. Without really prizing and being crazy about your kids, the time you spend with them will be a bore. The discipline you apply will seem heartless, and the wisdom you try to share will taste like hideous medicine. But when you prize your children, when you prize their smiles, their ideas, their achievements, their uniqueness, they will sense it. And all your other ways of showing love will gain added power. The more you prize your children, the more likely it is that they'll become people who are indeed worth prizing. As Proverbs puts it, The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Whatever you do, love your children by prizing them enormously. Well, there you have it. 10 ways to love your kids. More could be added, but we're out of time. As you've heard these 10 items, you may have felt affirmed on some things and thought, I'm already doing that, and I feel encouraged. If so, I'm glad for you. Keep it up. At other points, you may have thought, ouch, I've really blown it there. If so, ask the Lord to forgive you and to help you to change and to do better. God bless your children, and God bless you in loving them.
You've been listening to the Back to God Hour with David Fettes. Our messages can be read or heard anytime on the internet at backtogod.net. And if you'd like a free printed copy of today's message, just write us and ask for it, called 10 Ways to Love Your Kids. Our address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. If you prefer a cassette or CD of the broadcast, you may have one for $5. The name of the message again is 10 Ways to Love Your Kids, and the address is the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. And when you write, please include the call letters of this station. Our internet address is backtogod.net. We'd also like you to know about our daily devotional booklet called Today. It contains a Bible reading and meditation for each day of the week. And we'll gladly send you a free copy of Today if you write us at the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. If you don't already belong to a Bible-believing church, please write us and we'll be glad to help you find one. Or if you'd like to study great truths of the Bible through the mail, ask about enrolling in a free Bible correspondence course. Just write the Back to God Hour, Box 557755, Chicago, Illinois, 60655. The Back to God Hour is a worldwide ministry of the Christian Reformed Church.